Kia ora and welcome to SaaS on the Street, the show where we talk all things software as a service. In this episode, Simon is talking to Stan Rimkovich about a new way for SaaS companies to get high quality meetings with new potential clients.
And we're going to cross over to Warsaw shortly to meet an amazing young man. But I just want to tell you how incredible I find it when someone takes a particularly difficult area of the SaaS world and masters it. I think lead generation is a massive pain point, and people spend truckloads of money trying to get people interested in their SaaS products. Well, there's an innovative, groundbreaking way of both providing employment, flexible employment for trained lead generators who work in SaaS companies and want to get a bit of extra income, and companies who don't have the time or the capability to really train these people up properly and source the leads for them to go after and get on the phone or however they're going to engage with those end customers, particularly in big markets like America. It's an art form. So we're looking at the art and the science of lead generation for SaaS companies. Welcome, Stan. How are you?
Hey, Simon. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. Doing great.
How is Warsaw today?
Actually, very lovely. Weather is just beautiful. Beautiful sunny autumn.
Great. And so you've been involved. Hang on. I just look at our backgrounds here. I've got the yellow and the yellow. I should be over on your background. There we go. Am I moving? I've moved. Okay, yeah. That's better. Now we get your name up. Here we go. It's Stan Rimkovich. Rimkovich. How do you say it?
Perfect. Rimkovich. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good. But now we're on the back. Now I've got your name, so I'll just duck over here to the other side. Okay, perfect. So, Stan, you've got this business, which I've only just heard about, I think, through Matchmaker, that matches up people with podcasts and subject matter expertise. It amazes me how lead generation can be so bad these days. I mean, what have you encountered actually being a practitioner? Because you really started as a practitioner, didn't you? You were on the phones. You're getting appointments. How'd you get into that to start with?
I just sort of wanted to get into the business, and I thought that, okay, I heard from a couple of people that sales is one of the most important skills. So I'm going to learn sales. So on the journey, I encountered that I also need to learn how to get leads before I am able to even talk to the prospect and sell my solution. I need to be able to even get to the point where I have the conversation. So this is how I started exploring how it's done. And I mean, I went pretty quickly to doing good, I think, just because I decided to sort of do things differently, being more creative in outreach, doing things right that will help me stand out in my prospect's inbox.
Do you find that were you working in a silo, or were you working in a quite a strong team at that time when you were really mastering how to contact somebody and have them agree to an appointment? Were you one of the things is to be doing stuff on your own. Another is when you've got people giving you ideas from the things that they're doing that's working. Were you feeding all the ideas into a pool as a team, or just a lone mercenary?
So I started my agency, my lead generation agency, sort of on my own. I did use some of the guidance from people that I know and people that I did not know. And I reached out to them asking how the hell did they accomplish all that stuff that I wanted to accomplish personally. Right. So I did that. I learned on the job, and I think it turned out quite okay. Right now, we do have, I share my learnings and I help sales reps on our platform, on our marketplace, to help them lower, sort of get more sales calls and get, have better results with my expertise, right? And then they also, they can exchange experiences on the platform. Sales reps can learn from each other. So it's quite good in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, this is the interesting thing about what you've done, because I was people, when they're starting a business, they often talk about, you know, the Uber of this, the Uber of that. But what it struck me was that your platform is largely made up of people who work in other SaaS businesses doing lead generation. They're mainly the people that a company can access, right? They're not they're trained and they're effective in their full-time role somewhere, or they're largely full-time role. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So all the sales reps on our platform, on our marketplace, they work in sales in 9-to-5 jobs. And after hours in their free time, they like to help companies, to help them grow personally, but also to get additional income. So they use the training and the skills that they already have to reap the benefits of working with someone else. Maybe it's a different perspective. Maybe it's a good career jump. We see folks changing industries from selling marketing services to, like you said, going into SaaS, which is for some more exciting than others.
What is a... And we should make out this is not a paid ad for your services. But what is bad lead generation?
So I think the bad one is that it's not effective. Mm-hmm. This is how I see it, right? And usually, most times, it's not effective because it's not personalized and it's not relevant. And you can only do personalized and relevant outreach if you spend some time on the prospect's LinkedIn page or even the prospect's website to sort of get the insights, get the problems that they might encounter, or even get some genuine conversation started because of something that you saw and that is, you think is worth mentioning.
Yeah. Because I get approached, and I'm sure you get approached on LinkedIn for people selling you services. It's you know, people want to connect. There's not that much paid in mail, I've noticed, certainly from my perspective. It's more connect and then pitch.
Yeah. So I mean, I think it works in some cases when you connect and pitch. If you pitch it in a creative way, in a way that haven't been done before, it might work, of course. But always the best way to really connect with someone and engage with someone that hopefully will lead to some sales conversations is just to be interested in that person and explore the relationship on the personal level.
Yeah. And is that something that you're active in with your, is this one of the tactics that you engage, you know, to be able to build relationships via connecting on LinkedIn?
So I don't personally use LinkedIn often to to find prospects or even to connect with people. I think of a LinkedIn as a secondary medium. I am a big fan of cold email and email in general. And I think it's way easier to get hold of someone via email rather than on LinkedIn. But of course, that was my experience and it varies from industry to industry.
Yeah. So SaaS industry, you'd say email is generally, you know, SaaS companies are selling into. Do you specialize in a particular kind of bracket of end customers that you help SaaS companies find? Who are the target end customers that you think you do best with?
So I think most of the cases we try to get startups to work with companies on our platform. So this is based on my experience selling to startups, whether it's just an very early stage company or more like a scale up. I think in general, selling tech to tech, it's better to use email. And I try to explain it to myself just over this simple concept. Like, email is used to do business and used to, you know, take on task or even communicate with other people, and it's used day to day. So if you can hop on there and gain attention, it will work out, right? LinkedIn is not really, LinkedIn is like a medium where you share stuff and maybe exchange a bit of, you know, engage with others, but it's not usually used for doing business.
Right. So what are some of the other things that you've used to really engage with prospects to have them respond to companies?
So great question. So I think one of the best way to really gain attention is to do something outstanding and creative. And I've done a couple of campaigns where I send out these big cartoons. It's an A3 format, so very large cartoon where it's basically a funny story. I mean, maybe a funny poster that is sort of personalized to that specific company, so they have a company name or the name of the person that I'm trying to reach. So it's ultra personalized. I saw some even prospects frame it and put it on the walls of their offices, and so it's just one of the many ideas to be different, right? You can do many different stuff.
And so, have you got an example of that you can show us?
Yeah, I can show it, but I would have to jump real quick. So I'm gonna jump. So bear with
me. That's fine. I'll keep talking. So, just to sum up what Stan's saying is that we've got. Oh, great! That was great.
Yeah. So as you can see, it's a man walking down the corner. And on the second side of a corner, there is a guy with a big hammer and success on it. And it's basically. Oh, there you go. So it's a guy, and then is on the second side of the corner, there is a second guy with a big hammer and success written on it. And the punchline is success is just around the corner for, and there is a company name. So, you know, you get hit by the success, and success is just around the corner. So that was the whole premise of this campaign. And yeah, it worked out pretty well, to be honest, because this letter generated out of 38 letters that we have sent, we got 14 meetings back. So yeah, something to, you know, think about in your outreach on what could be done differently, and how you can really stand out, how you can make things more pleasant and just more cheerful.
That the value of the contract that somebody is receiving something like that, like is it 10,000 a year that they would be paying, or 20 or less? Like the end annual recurring revenue that's worth that investment of really targeted mailing and.
So I think the overall campaign wasn't that expensive. I think it was like less than $2,000, to be honest. And results have been incredible. So yeah, I don't know exact numbers of the revenue and deals generated from this, but I know that we got out of 8 letters, we got 14 meetings back.
You got 14 out of 38. You got almost, yeah. It's like, yeah, wow. What is almost, that? Is it?
Yeah.
Thirty-seven percent return. Wow. So if there are SaaS companies listening to this and they want to engage with you, you said that campaign only cost a couple of thousand. That means that, you know, let's just look at those numbers. So let's say 14 meetings. Now, you don't handle the meetings, right? They go back to the client typically.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yes, because
You're going from there's a pool of people out there that you want to reach. Now, of that pool of people, here's 14 actual appointments where they're going to meet with you or requests to meet. And let's say of those 14 meetings, if it's quite targeted, let's say half of them had demos, so we're down to 7. And let's say 4 of them, should be pretty high. Let's say 4 of them signed up, and let's say it was $10,000 a year. That's a $40,000 per annum recurring revenue contract. Spent $2,000 on your end, spent time and money and commission from the salesperson's effort, but what a return. What an amazing. But more importantly is for target customers. So let's talk about, so you have the skills and expertise in the platform because you have, what, over 130 or 150 trained?
Yeah, 150, yeah, sales reps, trained sales reps, yeah.
Now tell me, I want to talk about that component and the leads. So tell me a little bit about the criteria. So if I've just left school and I've done a little bit of cold calling, I don't have any track record with a SaaS company being effective, am I able to register on your platform and get some experience? Or is your bar where you've got to be hitting these sorts of numbers and metrics and you've got to have a track record before you can become come on the platform?
So there are usually two types of people on the platform from a sales perspective, which is one of them is experienced sales reps that's been in business for a couple of years. They're sales SDRs at other companies. Some of them are even account executives at other companies, and they help out. They do it on the free time and they use their own personal expertise and skills. But we also have a second group of sales rep, and they are, like you mentioned, people that don't have any or much sales experience, but they do have the personality and the key characteristics of a really good sales rep. So of course, we have a training program for them. We help them to get started. We help them to strategize on how to reach out to people best, how to create scripts, how to really use the tonality and use all the tactics that all those senior veteran sales reps use, so they can learn on the job and really also get great results.
That's cool. So that's actually a really good, I've had a couple of people that have said to me, this was like last year, I'd really like to get into SaaS. And it occurred to me that sales is just a really, really, really good way to get into SaaS, because you have to get your head around something. And if you want to become a salesperson in SaaS, as in someone who's taking the demos and converting people and signing them up, that's hard, because if you have no track record, that business has to spend a lot of time investing in some core sales skills, SaaS skills, the product, the end customer's vertical, you know, their world. Because if you do the sales part where you're doing the demo, you're competing against people who might have been doing it for 10 years at the competition, you know. So what you're providing is a really great on-ramp for anyone who wants to get into SaaS, even in customer success management. Like, here I've done, you know, 3 months of cold calling. These were my stats. This is how effective I became. You know, it's a great way for people. Have you seen people go from just nothing? You've just really been launched since August, but do you see the stepping up of these inexperienced people?
Yeah, especially that we do work with really awesome companies, that they are just rising and they are growing extremely fast. So being able to say or even put on the resume that you work with that awesome company that is growing really fast, it's a great way to really step into the sales opportunities that come afterwards. And of course, the great things also come during the job, because you learn a ton from really great people working in high growth startups.
So if I come on your platform, I haven't had any, I wouldn't mind actually giving it a wee go. I come on your platform, if I haven't had any experience, I leave with some money, I leave with a lot of training, a lot of skills, I leave with the companies I served, which are, you know, the reputable SaaS companies. Let's say I'm just want to focus on SaaS, and they end up on my CV as I've sold for them, even though I've come through the platform.
Yeah, and I think you will also enjoy the last perk, which is we take care of building list for you. So if you say that, okay, Stan, I want to work on this opportunity, but I don't have the list, the company is not providing me with any data, we will get you the data that is necessary and unlimited data for you to be able to work. So the only thing, the only task is the only task is basically to focus on how to position the company that you're reaching out from, or the company that you're working with, the best way possible, so prospects will just book a demos and book a lot of them.
Yeah, and let's say you've worked with, let's say it's company ABC, you've worked with them for a couple of weeks, they've got two people, they're selling, they're effective, they've come up with something, they want to add two more. The two new ones that come into the work stream on the platform, are they being given everything that's worked by the other two? Like, are they sharing, going, hey, this is working. Just do this, do this, do this. And here's how I've done it. And here's how she's done it. So this is what you should do. Is it collaborative like that?
Yeah, of course. So we have bi-weekly, sometimes weekly, office hours where all the sales reps can learn from each other. So they share their wins and losses, the tactics that they use, something that they have tried in the last couple of days that really worked, or something that they tried, they thought it would work, but it didn't. So we also have this sort of coaching community and coaching culture embedded inside. So you as a sales rep get the best experience possible.
I can't believe it. It's so clever. Like, I can really, is this across everyone on the platform joins in these, or everyone can, or is this more for like one company's lead generators, sales development representatives? You said SDR, so sales development representative is the lead generating role. Is it just for one company's SDRs or the whole platform?
The whole platform comes and greets each other and helps each other out.
It's great. We should do a big thing for a big push to help you, because this is employment, training. I can't think of a better kind of melting pot to be good at SaaS. One of the things I found when I was hiring an account manager a long time ago, back in like 2008, 2009, for this software business that I was in charge of in London, was I went for just kind of anybody and it didn't work out. And then I got told, no, you really should get a career account manager. You know, once a deal's signed, the person that's going to take on, I know what account management is. I'm just making it clear for those that aren't familiar with the term. Well, people call it customer success management, but the person who takes it from that, there's the lead, the person signs that lead through a demo, then it's the person who takes it on from the contract and looks after that customer for hopefully years, decades. So the advice that I got from head office in New York was, you want a career account manager. You don't want someone who's like just doing it for in between jobs. And it struck me, and I did get a career account manager who was an absolute genius, and we generated millions of pounds in SaaS revenue and became the number one provider globally. And you know, so it reminds me of sort of the waiter situation. If you go to Italy, you get these career waiters, or America or Poland, you know, you go to a restaurant and they are, that's their life. And then you also have the casuals that are just flitting in and out. And it's so important to have people that are really happy in their niche. So do you find that there's some of these, because you know that field so well, do you have some that are a bit like what I was saying earlier, where they're doing SDR so that they can get into sales, or they can get into account management, or they can get into something else? And then you've got others who are just like, I'm in my zone. This is what I'm going to do. I'm even going to do it extra time because I've got more energy and passion than I want to put at one company. Are there two distinct camps?
So I don't really know if there are two distinct camps. I know for a fact that sales reps on the platform and not on the platform, they need to be sort of hustlers. They need to be able to take objections very, very well, because they are going to get hit by it in the face multiple times a day. So it's really, you got to make sure that you are prepared for it, and you got to make sure that you are willing to work hard for your goals, whatever they are. And I don't really, I'm pretty sure that not every sales rep, sales development rep is willing to stay in that role forever. I just think that for everybody comes the time where they like to move further in their career to a position, like you mentioned, account executive, or even someday VP of sales, right?
That's cool. That's cool. Hey, I've got an invitation if you'd like. So, and it could be good for some of the work that you're doing. So I'm launching a challenge, which is a 5-day, 2 hours a day for 5 days, I could do it for 5 days. Yeah, I could do 5 days, 2 hours a day. And because one of the things is that I've mapped it all out, right? And then I was thinking it would be great to have your input from the SDR perspective. So it's going to be in November, I think November 16. And we're going to go through the kind of the sales process for SaaS from beginning to end and help people, particularly founders and CEOs of SaaS companies, get a whole new take on how to sell their SaaS. And I would love to co-lead just for 2 hours a session with you, kind of expanding this and co-leading a session where we blow the lid off lead generation. And these will be founder CEOs of SaaS companies, so you could get a chance to convert them to your platform or upper.
Yeah, sounds perfect. Sounds like a great opportunity. I always open to chat about sales and sales development in general.
Cool. All right. So let's just wrap up with the data quality. Because is it true to say that if I went out to get my product into America, you would have better quality data than I would be able to kind of just search and find?
Yeah. So if you would use your own time and try to get the data yourself, yeah, pretty much sure I will have the better data than you would ever have. But if you were to invest in some of the data providers for this type of work, for phone numbers, emails, right titles, then our data would be still the same. Because right.
It's a big investment to get all of the data.
Yeah, we're talking about north of 15K a year, and that's for the base package. We even maybe tens of thousands of dollars per year to even be able to just get the right phone number, which is like very expensive if you think about it. So we as a platform take care of that and distribute the leads to the to the sales rep, so they can reach out and they can book a lot of meetings for SaaS companies.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing, isn't it, that a company in Warsaw is helping companies all over the world, including America, sell into America and other places. But you've got, for a company that's been going for just 3 months, you've got a great proposition. And you know, the challenge that I've seen is always like we were using Hoovers in 2007, and it's just so many holes in it. It got to the point where if you haven't got reliable data, you end up just throwing your hands up and just going, what's the point? I just called 20. No, I just gave up on it as a strategy, lead generation, completely.
Yeah.
Because it's so frustrating. I think that's a great service that you're offering. So thank you, Stan. Thanks for coming on SaaS on the Street. Thanks for enlightening us. I'm excited. We're going to do the Sell Your SaaS Challenge in November. It's going to be a ridiculously low price just for people to get a huge amount of value, and hopefully they'll appreciate when they look at it at a deeper level with you, how the art and the science of lead generation is coming together with Aurapa. So it's appreciate it. Appreciate your time. Do you want to just put your share your screen for 1 second, and we can just see that just before we close, so that people can.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, no, I've got to add it. Okay.
Yeah. So it was so nice to talk to you. Great chat. We had a lot of valuable points. So hope everyone got something to just think about. And excited, Simon, to co-host a session with you in November. Cool.
All right. Thanks, Stan. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
That's it for another episode. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the next SaaS on the Street, where we discover how a massive SaaS community was built on Facebook.